says Tai Chi needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around Ayo's house.
In the middle of our street.
Ayo's house.
Isle's House, episode we're selling. We're having a fire sale. Before we get into it, subscribe. You know where you can find us. Follow us on Twitter at Isle's House. You can follow all of us. I'm at Ethan GSN, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy, Jack at Isle's Den, Producer Greeny at eGreenberg99. All right, guys, no real recap or agenda for this episode. We're just going to sort of wing it. We're recording at 10 p.m. right after the Islanders got embarrassed at Madison Square Garden, and they have one more game before Friday's trade deadline against Winnipeg, when I guess I'll say today when you guys are all listening. And let's jump into it, Jack.
Well, it's hard not to fully recap the game after I was just there for that slaughtering.
Well, go ahead. just talk.
Yeah, I can talk. I can talk all right. I mean, the game starts. We kill a penalty. We score a goal. The goal we scored, it was great that we had a 1-0 lead. Like, I loved it, but the goal was so fluky, and it ended up getting called back and not mattering. Then the Rangers score off of a header from right outside the crease. I mean, it's just insane. Like, what I said a week ago when I think I've said it on the podcast where I was just going over how like the hockey gods, and it's just like not our year. In a 2-minute span, we have a goal taken off for an offsides. I don't know how close it was. I was at the game. And then we give up a header into our net. Like, that's just once again my point of how not meant to be this season feels like. Later in the period, we give up a shorthanded goal. I actually, at first, when I saw the play, I didn't like the goal given up by Sorokin. It was right in front of me. But upon replay, I saw that Dobson makes a nice hit, then not really an important hit. I would have rather him get back. But Boqvist had a chance to break up the play if he hustles to Borgen or whatever the hell his name is. And he doesn't get there in time because he's gliding a little bit casually. Puck actually deflects off his stick too. So once again, we get screwed over by some ridiculous bounce. And it goes over Sorokin. And now it's 2-0. Yeah, it's annoying that Sorokin gave up 2 goals on 6 shots, but at the end of the day, we didn't score a goal. We couldn't generate anything. I turned to my dad at one point. I was like, we're making the Rangers look like the President's Trophy winners from last year, and they don't have Adam Fox. They don't have Kreider. They have Riley Smith scratched. You have Berard out there. You have Rempe, and we couldn't do shit. It was a sobering performance at the very least. I mean, do you guys disagree, or – what did you think of the game?
I texted my two Ranger fan friends towards the end of the first period, and I said, Igor is getting a shutout tonight. This game could be 120 minutes long, and the Islanders were not scoring. And they were like, oh, don't jinx it. Don't you? I'm like, don't worry. You have nothing to worry about. This team, this was the most dead, lifeless performance I have ever seen. And it's fitting that this is right before the trade deadline, because this should be the final nail in the coffin. It's disgusting.
That's the thing. They have a game in 24 hours against Winnipeg. Like, I understand the part of the fan base that is like, just give it up already. My dad even told me he wants to sell. Like, this guy is the most positive.
It's over. I shouldn't say his name. Jack's dad said to sell. Oh my goodness. It's over.
That really does mean
it's never been more over.
Yeah.
He's the most positive Isles fan I've met, I think.
His favorite player is Brock Nelson.
There you go.
And he wants Brock Nelson traded. Like, that is when it gets the craziest thing I've ever heard.
But yeah, from your dad, it's crazy. But like, I don't know how there's still fans out there that don't want to trade him. Like, I said it last week on the pod, and I feel it even more so now. I don't even want to extend him. And it's not a shot at Brock. It's not that Brock's not a good player. It's just not the direction this team should be going. They're already old. You know, you don't need to be signing the guy with the most gray hairs in the league when you're the oldest team as is. Like, come on now. It's ridiculous. We love Brock, appreciate Brock. It's time to move on. It's time to move on from Palms. Jack, that goal you mentioned where Dobson made the hit, it was actually Palms' fault. He had like this awkward drop pass that was in between. that kind of
yeah.
left Dobson out to dry. And he did lay a nice hit, but it was like rocking a hard play situation for him. It was such a weird pass by Palmieri, who, by the way, yes, he puts up goals, but he's so streaky. Like, what does he have, 18, 19 goals, Greeny?
19.
Yeah. Like, it's like the oddest 19 goals to me. Like, I watch him play. I watch just about every game. It does not feel like Palmieri has 19 goals this season.
I don't remember 12 of them.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like he scored it so in bunches very early, got ice cold, and then now has been getting hot again. They're good players. They've had good careers. We appreciate them as Islanders. I can't do it anymore. Like, you can't, there is no world where you can extend both. So you have to trade them. If you're not extending them, you have to trade them.
They should be traded regardless. But
they should be traded regardless.
To me, it's like, we know that Brock Nelson was already offered a contract extension. And if he doesn't accept it, then you're gone. I'm sorry. It's that simple. I don't want him back anyway. But if there was some team-friendly deal to be had, all right, you could maybe talk me into it depending on what they're going to do in the offseason. I know, like, obviously I've been probably one of the first, if not the most passionate trade Brock guys, because it's just incredibly obvious to me that the regression is there. I mean, you look at his numbers. You can't define regression better than that. You look up regression in the dictionary and you're looking at Brock Nelson's pro hockey reference page. He went from 37 goals in 72 games. The next year he scored 36 in 82. Then he scored 34 in 82. After tonight, I think he's on pace for like 26 or 27. And mind you, this is contract year Brock Nelson. This is probably the best that it's going to get moving forward. And for everyone who's
rebuttal.
Like, I don't care about your rebuttal right now. You can rebut when I'm done. When people look at they're just like, oh, what are you going to get for Brock? You're going to get a late first and a prospect that's going to turn into nothing.
Assets. Just get assets.
One, you can flip those assets. You can flip any picks that you get for whoever might become available over the summer to immediately improve your team. Second of all, Brock Nelson was the 30th overall pick himself, and he blossomed into quite a player. And third, this is exactly why I was banging the fucking drum last year to trade him when he was a 34 goal scorer, when you could eat some money. And we're talking about, you know, Andrew Gross writing an article that, oh, teams have been inquiring on Anders Lee. Okay, well, I think everyone pretty much acknowledges that if the Islanders were to trade Anders Lee and eat half the money, the haul that they would get, and this guy's going to be 30, he's either 35 right now or he's going to be 35, he's old.
35
he's
having next season.
In 35 next season, he's having a resurgence of a season. It is widely acknowledged that if the Islanders were to trade Anders Lee and eat half the salary cap hit, which is $7 million, so you eat 3.5, that they would get back one of the greatest hauls of the trade deadline, if not the greatest haul of the trade deadline. Well, what do you think would have happened last year if the Islanders ate half of Brock's, what, 6 for a 34 goal scorer for a team who could have used that offense? It's mind-boggling to me. You really... and I had people last year telling me, oh, no, just wait till next year. Wait till the summer. Wait till the trade deadline. His value is going to go higher because people pay more for rentals. That's not true. It's never been true. And you guys duped yourselves into thinking that keeping him was the right move. I'm sick of it. Just get rid of the guy. If this is the best that it's going to get, then you're talking about extending a probable 3C for how many years? 3, maybe 4.
Minimum
at cap,
3.
At a cap hit that may become tenable depending on how much more the cap rises throughout the course of his contract. It makes no sense. You trade this guy, you scratch him for Winnipeg tonight, and that's the end of it.
But we know they're not. We know that.
Oh,
already.
We know they're not.
They're not scratching anyone. They should scratch a number of guys. They are not scratching anyone.
It's common sense.
They should at the very least scratch Brock and Palms. They will not be scratched. And they should also, honestly... Sorokin's been playing so many games, it should be Skarik tomorrow, but we know they're going to force it and go Sorokin. We know that.
Jack, your rebuttal.
No, it's not even a rebuttal. It's actually just a question because, like, the people who I know that want to keep Nelson, they're actually mostly season ticket holders and fans that attend games on a regular basis. So
they want a watchable product, which
so you
I
tell
understand.
Me, no, you tell me, how do you design, how do you showcase, like, any sort of plan for your desires, like you want to trade Lee,
who,
you want to trade
who
Nelson.
Were we talking in the group chat earlier today? Who were the model franchises? Who did we say, Jack? Do you remember?
I actually don't, but I could probably guess Tampa and Vegas.
Well, I don't think we said those, I guess, but we mentioned Dallas. Winnipeg,
yeah,
Florida,
Dallas.
And what Colorado. Do those teams have in common? Colorado. What those teams have in common is their stars and their core group is mostly drafted guys. You can't just go out and try to buy players, constantly trade first round picks, and expect it to work long term. Eventually, you need young guys. We're going into next season with Matthew Barzell, who is going to be 28. Don't you think we need younger guys to supplement him if we want to make the most of the rest of his career?
Like, he became 28 quick, man.
Exactly. When you're not that good, you become 28 quick. And look,
Rocco, you made a good point earlier because Jack's taught bringing up season ticket holders. First things first, by the way, if they don't sell on Friday, I am emailing my rep and opting out. And I will make
email
a decision.
Him, email them tonight.
No, I will. No. I'm going to give them a chance because whatever. And that doesn't mean
and,
that I can't.
And Den Senior said that. He made a great point, Den Senior. You got to give them a chance before we panic.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a chance because I don't understand how anyone with eyes can watch the product that was out on the ice tonight and think we're just either going to stand pat with the group we have or we're going to go buy. And the people who over the last week who have been speculating, oh, the Islanders might buy if they win a game. Buy with what? What
and
assets
who?
Do they have?
And who?
Right. It makes no sense. It's really going to be disgusting to watch Lou flip one of these depth defensemen for like a bottom six player on Friday. If that's the route he goes, it's going to be puke worthy.
Rocco, you want to know what else those model franchises have in common?
What's that?
They're proactive.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Lou is reactive. And that's one thing. That's one thing that has pissed me off to no end for a million years is that Lou is behind on everything. And the only moves he makes is reacting to what he saw in the last week or the last game when these other teams are having to. Like what
Taves, Letty,
You shared a tweet. The Stars offered Wyatt Johnson today an 8-year extension.
8x8.
Mm-hmm. 8x8.
That's trying to get out ahead of it.
Trying to get out ahead of it. That's exactly what good organizations do. They try and supplement their young players before those young players even get up to their roster. What do the Islanders do? They react and panic to every single thing and try and put band-aids on solutions. And a lot of the time, the band-aids are guys that they find off waivers. And granted, some of those guys, like I think Mike Riley worked out, some of the defensemen they brought in have worked out. But it's just this mindset of we always have to be late to react. We always have to be behind the curve to anything.
Why he's never sold the top.
He's never sold. You've been preaching this, Ethan, for a million episodes. He's never sold once at a player's peak value. When are we going to be able to be a little bit smarter? When are we going to get out in front of things and be proactive?
And Jack said it best last episode. Sometimes it's what was the line, Jack? It's not about.
It's not about getting better right now. It's about getting different.
It's about getting different. And listen, no sane person is going to look you in the eye and say, yes, this late first round draft pick and this prospect that Lou's going to acquire for Brock Nelson is going to be a star and they're going to blossom. I would argue that of all the, I don't know, Rocco, tell me if I'm wrong, because I feel like baseball can be a bit of a wild card too, but like the NHL, you're drafting 17 and 18 year olds pretty routinely. I know in baseball, some of these kids are in high school, but like, it's a crapshoot. It really is. The best organizations know how to scout well, and they bring these young guys in and they develop them. And like, why did you bring Patrick Waugh here if not to develop youth after the job that he did in the QMJHL? So I really don't understand like the route if they don't sell and try to recoup a shitload of assets.
I have no patience for the Patrick Waugh slander right now either. Like, he is trying to win games with a lineup with JG Pageau on his first line and Casey Cizikas as your third line center. Casey Cizikas was never supposed to be your third line center, ever.
Strictly like fourth line.
He's doing anything he can. And honestly, I think he's done a pretty good job recently.
Absolutely shocking, by the way, that Casey Cizikas, a player over 30, regressed and people hate him now. Unbelievable. Who could have fucking thought?
There was just quickly before I lose the thought, to the first round theory of what Ethan was saying before, comparing it to baseball, how young they are when they're drafted and whatnot. Greeny, if you want to pull up that Alexis Lafreniere draft, because I was looking at a redraft the other day, and I think we all think that sometimes you have to have a top five pick to land an absolute stud. I'm pretty sure it's that draft where there are a number of guys that went into the teens, maybe even the 20s, that are very, very, very good players right now. And it's already pretty much set in stone that number one is not the best player.
Look back less than a year ago. Look back less than a year ago. Fans, like, we're ready to blow Lou for drafting Cole Iserman at 22.
Right. No, Wyatt exactly.
Johnston. Wyatt Johnston. We were just talking about him. He was drafted.
He's in
at
that
like
draft,
22.
Right?
No, he was in. I think
he's 21, so he's maybe a little younger.
He was more recent, but the Lafreniere draft, that wasn't a great draft, but like Seth Jarvis went to Carolina at 13.
Yeah, but
Panthers,
that's what I mean.
The Panthers
you
can
get guys like that.
Anton Lundell, Dawson Mercer went 18.
Yeah, you could get guys. It doesn't mean, listen, they can say whatever they want about a draft. Oh, it's a
Brock
strong
Faber
draft.
Was a second round pick, by the way.
There you go. It's a, you know, it's not considered the best draft 2025. They're already saying 26 is better, which is fine. You could also try to aim for 26 picks that are higher value. But the bottom line is, at least you're giving yourself a shot. At least you're trying. At least you're building a pool. You have this, you're attempting to have this group of young players that could supplement your core. Using Dallas as an example, again, they gave big contracts to Ben, to Sagan, to a couple other guys, and they were going downhill. I think they got a top five or so pick to land Heiskanen. They were so bad 1 year. And then they started turning the corner with these young guys, and now they're one of the best teams in the league. So it's okay to have guys like Barzal, Horvat, Sorokin, but you need to supplement them with young talent, or else it's never going to work. You can't just keep adding guys in their late 20s and hoping it's going to work out, because more likely than not, it's going to blow up in your face.
Especially for a team like the Islanders, because I go back and I look at the Winnipeg Jets, who the Islanders are playing tonight, and you look at who their top, I brought this up last episode, who their top scorers are, and it's a majority of guys that were drafted by them, because a lot of these teams,
I think all of them,
in the, there's like one or two guys,
who?
But I don't remember. Greeny can pull up like their top scorers.
Well, just quick example, Scheifele, Ehlers, Connor. I think they drafted all of them, right?
They drafted all three of them. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these organizations, especially smaller town, I'll call it. Obviously, the Islanders have a new arena and everything, but they're not destination franchises. They don't have the big market benefit. They don't have income tax benefit. You have to draft well. You can't just be buying in the offseason with assets, you know, when you can't just go into the offseason spending money, because a lot of the time these guys aren't going to come here. You know, to lose credit, he's done a good job of you know, the Bo Horvat trade, bringing in a guy of that caliber and getting him to extend. Of course, that's great. But when you're doing that, of course, the optimal way to do it is just spend money in an offseason. And a lot of these teams don't have the benefit, and the Islanders are one of them.
So I looked, Rocco, I looked at the Wyatt Johnston draft. The Stars got Wyatt Johnston at 23. Their second round pick was 47. They took Logan Stankoven.
Yeah.
The Islanders took Atu Ratu, 52. Five picks later, the Leafs took Matthew Nyes at 57. So it's
Think about it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it doesn't have to be high-end capital, but I wanted to pull up this article that Pierre LeBrun did, because he interviewed Lou or spoke to Lou briefly. And one of the things that Lou said that I couldn't believe is, you know, at the end of one of his quotes, he goes, we can't think about yesterday. We're not focused on tomorrow. It's all about tonight. Is it not? I mean, that's the GM's job to kind of be thinking about tomorrow and the year after that and the year after that. And it's always just, well, you know, tonight, it's all about today. It's not about yesterday. It's not about tomorrow. And it's like that mold of thinking fucks them.
The Islanders are like the perfect example of maximizing value in the draft. Like Brock Nelson was a 30th overall pick. Matt Barzal was what, 15th overall? 16th overall.
Trade up.
Yeah. Anders Lee was a fifth or sixth round pick. And like these are the top three. A
lot of guys. Cizikas.
Offensive performers on the team. Yeah. You know,
Cizikas, Sorokin, Mayfield, Pelech, Pullock. They were not high picks.
Right.
Devon Taves was a fourth round pick as well, by the way.
Yeah. So listen, there's going to be more misses than hits. That's why you try to stock up on draft picks and take your shots. And it's a numbers game for a lot of these teams, but you have to really maximize your scouting and your draft value.
Do we think they maybe began to turn the corner at the last draft when they actually made every pick? Because I think we were all surprised when they used the one first and both seconds. I mean, it might have just worked out that way. They didn't want to do it that way, but at the end of the day, they made the pick.
It worked out that way because I think obviously those picks,
they were looking
like
for
this, Ehlers.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, that's the beginning of it, right? Like, if Lou is to sell now and you're able to turn the corner, we would sort of look at that as the beginning. Like, okay, we made got these extra draft picks, we made them. That's the beginning of revamping the prospect pool, right? Because we're like, right.
And we're not talking about a multi-year to 26. Process. We're talking about a 1 to 2 year process.
Right. And I constantly bring up that it's not so easy to be the Capitals. I think I said this last episode too, because that's constantly the comparison, right? Like when you're in last place halfway through the year, everyone loves to say, oh, the Blues were last place in 2019 and they won the cup. The Capitals are like that new version where if you're not that good this year and you want to retool, you want to be the Caps. And I keep saying it's very hard to have that come to fruition because you need a lot of luck. You need some savvy moves.
Not everyone can acquire cap friendly.
Not everyone could acquire cap friendly. And it's just like they had a little bit of a prospect pool already. We really kind of don't. Like they had Ryan Leonard in the fold already. They haven't had a couple other guys that are playing well now. We don't really have that, at least not from what I see. So you need to begin building it up. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this might be a few year process, not just we turn around next year and we're good. This could be a full on gap year. And then you need a couple more to build up.
But I that's feel what makes these losses so good. Devastating. It's because like when I'm at these games and we lose like that,
it could get worse.
You just think
it could like, get worse before it gets better.
Are we not going to make the playoffs for like 4 years? Like it sucks when you look at it like that.
Ethan and I grew up with, bro. We never made the playoffs.
Same
with me. Yeah, we grew up with that.
No, we were a little harsher than you, all right? We had it bad.
The first years I started watching, they were in a six-year playoff drought. I feel like if you guys were watching like earlier, so I know it was pretty bad in the late 90s, like really, really bad.
The 2008 to 2014-15 stretch was pretty bleak.
It was.
That was pretty bleak.
But we had that, and we also had like the
Fisherman era?
No, just after that, like the DiPietro draft era and beyond, where like they were good brief, like basically what the Isles have done the last 3 years with like Pekka and Yashin, like just make the first round. And then just stink after that.
But you know what I wanted to say before, Rocco, I would feel better about their process of like turning over a new leaf if they had more than one player that Lou drafted that has become a regular NHL player. And they don't. It's Simon Holmstrom. And I'm not counting Noah Dobson because that draft was Garth's people. Because that was right after Lou got
That's
here.
Fair.
And so the only other players that have actually appeared in an NHL game that Lou has drafted have been William Dufour, Sam Bolduc, and I think there was one more that I missed. Isaiah George this year. Oh, sorry, two more. Ratu and Simon Holmstrom. And out of those players, Simon Holmstrom is a good bottom six player.
Yep.
Where's the confidence supposed to be that they know what they're doing?
Well, they also don't use their high draft picks most of the time, right?
That's true, but like what were we talking about before?
No, it doesn't always need it. Yeah,
you don't need it. And it's like, I'm not asking for them to hit on a high percentage. Nobody hits on high percentages when you're talking about second, third, fourth round picks. But can we get one? Can we get two guys that at least are capable NHL players? Where are they?
Certainly feels like we're due, right?
You would think. All right, where do we go from here?
I mean, it's just, I can't even think about like who they're going to trade. It's like what I saw in front of me tonight is just insane. Like, right. Ryan Pulock is like the analytics community. Like I'm usually like not with them. And early in the season, like I saw a bunch of things about how Pulock is terrible. And I was like, yeah, give me a break. And I'm like, suddenly I've really paid attention to it. And he sucks. Like he gets paid $6 million or something. And I feel like it's almost a secret how bad he is. Like he is the guy I actually want to trade the most because you could probably trick some team into thinking this guy is like some great playoff defenseman for us, like with his iconic shot block. Like he needs to go ASAP. Like that guy is who I want to trade more than anyone, more than like, cause he's not good. I don't want him on my team anymore. Like he can't, he's just like, it's crazy to watch the regression on him and Cizikas too. Him as your third line center. He was always the fourth line center. And I always thought, yeah, he can be that. He could be a third line center because he was really good as a 4C. But no, he can't do that either. Just the construction of this team without Barzal, a few injuries, like they're unable to overcome things that happen in an NHL season. Like
they can't win a playoff series with Barzal. They're going to win one without him.
Exactly.
Cooley heading the puck in the net, it sucks. It's a bad bounce. And
Sorokin's got to have that one.
And Sorokin not getting the second goal, which deflects off Boqvist's stick, and it's 2-0 Rangers. That stuff is going to happen. Like, the bounces are going to go against you, and they just don't have the firepower right now to overcome it.
Can I do my Sorokin green room?
Wait, can I do one negative green room stat since yours is positive? So I was looking after they gave up the shorthanded goal because I hadn't checked where their power play was ranked in quite some time. I know they actually scored a power play goal on Saturday. Their power play before tonight was at 11.5%. If you doubled that percentage and that brought them up to 23%, I believe they would still be like 15th in the NHL.
Yeah,
that's the stat.
Yeah,
that's the
part,
stat.
That's part of my thing. All right, so this is just, I mean, I said this is like a Sorokin green room, but really it's just an overall goalie green room. So this is from my buddy Ryan. He put this together right before the pod, and this is excellent for those out there who want a little context on the goalie situation. The Islanders are a total of 16-9-3 in games where the goalie has given up two goals or fewer. Comparatively, Florida is 23-4 in games where the goalie has given up two goals or fewer. Some examples. Sorokin lost a 1-0 game in overtime. Sorokin lost a 1-0 game in regulation. Varley lost a 2-0 game. An empty net goal made it 3-0. Sorokin had a 2-1 game and an empty net goal to make it 3-1 against the Ducks. Varley lost a 2-1 game in a shootout, so he only surrendered one goal in regulation, through regulation and overtime. Sorokin lost a 2-1 game in regulation. Sorokin lost a 2-1 game in overtime. Sorokin lost a 2-1 game, empty netter, made it 3-1. Sorokin lost a 2-1 game, empty netter, made it 3-1. Sorokin lost a 2-1 game in regulation. Hogberg lost a 1-0 game and an empty net goal made it 2-0. So there have been plenty of times this season where Sorokin has just not been good, straight up. And I think what a lot of people complain about primarily is the variance in his performance. And I don't think that that's debatable. There are games where he just looks totally lost, where he can't stop a beach ball. But there have been plenty of games this year where the goaltending has showed up and the offense has it and they can't put it together. So again, in a season where Sorokin's played a lot, the Islanders are 14th in goals against, but have a dead last power play. They rank 28th in shooting percentage, 29th in team assists, and 27th total in goals for. So again, Sorokin has been a problem at times. The goaltending has been a problem at times this season. Far down on the list of issues, and it's easy to single the goaltending out, but in a season where the offense has been so putrid, to me, there are just so many bigger problems to worry about.
It's not even just this season. You could have, I mean, you, oh, we can make yeah, the same course. Argument. We can make the same argument going
of course,
back years.
But I'm not going back
that
to
the offense is the problem.
The yeah, before that.
Yeah, no, they can't. They sure. can't finish. They can't finish. They get plenty they of chances. They just are.
That's incapable. Why I don't know why we're even considering re-signing our mid 30-year-old forwards that are part of a group that can't finish.
Well, that's scary because like he has the he probably has the most goals on the team, right?
Who, Brock?
And we're going to take
Palmer. No, it's Lee. It's Lee.
It's Lee.
Yeah, Lee, it's Lee.
By the way, Lee's been a little bit, since the Four Nations break, he's been a little bit MIA, Lee. Like, he, as Ethan said before, with that resurgence, I think, personally, I would actually rather trade Lee than Nelson. If I'm going to keep one of them, like, I would rather keep Nelson than Lee. I feel like Lee is a one-dimensional player in terms of, like, he'll score in front of the net. Like, he'll win some board battles, but Nelson is a center. Like, he's a little more valuable to me. So if we can
– Well, Lee would undoubtedly get you a monster return, a much better return than Nelson, especially if you're eating half, which I personally have no problem with, especially next year with the cap going up because you have the leadership aspect, team captain, leading the team in goals. Like, he'd be perfect for a team that's sort of, like, in a wild card position or, like – a third place position that just wants that veteran presence for like maybe a young team that's finally surging into the playoffs. I know in our group chat earlier, I brought up Columbus. He'd be perfect for them, but you're going to get so much.
What if we sold, would you be happy with this? Cause this is what I would be happy with this. If we sold Lee, Pageau, and we'll say Mayfield, cause Pollock doesn't even feel realistic for some reason. Like, so those three we sell and we actually re-sign Nelson. And we actually even re-signed Paul Mary, but we don't re-sign Paul Mary to be our second line.
No, I'm not happy.
You re-sign him on a short on a third line in a third line checking role. Like
I don't want anyone. I don't want anyone back. I don't want anyone back.
Jack, if your scenario came to fruition,
you would be mad.
I would say the only I would not be furious. I would be normal mad. But Palmieri absolutely has to be included in that group that you mentioned. I would honestly rather move Palmieri than Mayfield at this deadline 100%. Because Mayfield, I feel like with that contract, yeah, we just saw Seth Jones get moved. Obviously, his cap hit's much higher. But I feel like Mayfield, yeah, a team that's in the playoffs could say, oh, I want like that big body defenseman and convince themselves to take on that contract. I feel like that's probably a contract easier moved in the summer. Under no circumstances do I want Kyle Palmieri back. Brock, I if they were to move the others that you mentioned, I could be fine with that because you're still getting a haul. And I do think that there is a role for Brock at a certain cap hit where even if he's not your 2C, like he could be a top six winger on a team that hopefully starts to infuse some youth. Like I just think that he's the most versatile of all the players that you mentioned. Still would rather sell him, but in your scenario where they do trade Lee, which is still crazy. I think that there's a 1% chance, probably less of that happening, then Palmieri absolutely has to be included.
One more guy. Is it possible that Pierre Engvall gets traded?
No.
No shot.
No. Not without a sweetener. Or as part of a bigger deal where he's just a throw in to even up money.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. But what I was going to say to Jack's question, there's sort of an order of operations here, I feel like. Like, Brock and Palms are the guys you have to move, obviously, because they're expiring. Then there's the Peugeots, the Lees. If we want to throw in Mayfield, Pellick, Pollock in that, whatever, sure. But of the first two, Brock and Palms, I just don't see a world at all where you could bring both back. It just doesn't make sense to me. They're what's the contract for Palmieri? Like $5 million he's probably going to want? You can't give Palmieri $5 million and then Brock $6 or $7 million, no matter who you get rid of. Because the whole point of trading some of these guys is to get assets and also get some cap room back. So, yeah, it would be great to trade Peugeot and possibly Mayfield. But then you look at it and you're, what does Mayfield make? Like 2.5? Peugeot makes
three.
Yeah, she makes, and then Peugeot makes, Mayfield makes
3.5. 3.5 for Mayfield, Peugeot $5 million.
So let's say to maximize, you eat half of Peugeot, you're only getting rid of 5.5 million, and then you're re-signing Palms and Nelson. It doesn't leave you a lot of room for improvement through free agency or whichever way you want to go about it.
It would have to be a very team-friendly deal. Like I'm talking,
but
like
what's team-friendly?
Like 3.5.
I don't think he signs that.
Like you're a third liner. I think it's possible he does. He's from Long Island, no?
We talked about this earlier in the group chat, Jack. I think we got to realize the cap is rising. Like $5 million this year, next year is not going to be $5 million this year. Like it's not going to look the same. Guys you don't expect to get $5 million will be getting $5 million. Guys you don't expect to be hitting the $10 million mark are going to, like a guy like Ehlers, who we were talking about prior to this year, maybe like a 7x7. That is not realistic anymore. He's going to get over $10 million probably with the year he's having. The numbers are going to change a little bit, and I think we got to get used to them.
Yeah, especially
I think we're not going to like a lot of them on a Palmieri.
No, there's going to be a lot of and forget about the fans. Some of these GMs are already having sticker shock at what some of these players are asking for. And again, like Rocco just said, you want this cap space too. That's also an asset you have to keep in mind, because if you want this team to take a swing at a Marner or a Rantanen or an Ehlers, they're going to need a shitload of money to do that. So,
right,
you can't would you rather have Brock at 3x6 and Palmieri at 3x4, or would you rather just take a swing and pay Mitch Marner 7x14?
Right. And I know everyone's first thing is we never sign free agents. We never sign free agents big time, at least.
You still have to try.
You have to take a swing, and it's okay if you set up to take a swing, you miss, and then your rebound is just signing veterans to 1 or 2 year deals, because it's low risk signing 1 or 2 year deals. You just get them on board. If they play well, guess what? And you're not a good team, guess what? You flip them for more assets. That's what teams do that are in this position of retooling. You try to get the big fish, doesn't always work out, and you go from there. And as far as the big free agents, we've seen in the past, we don't know what motivates each individual. Like, for example, Panarin wanted to be in NYC no matter what. Bleep it, Greeny. wanted to go home. A guy like Johnny Gaudreau, may he rest in peace, shocked everyone and went to Columbus because he was a quieter, more to himself guy. We don't know what each guy wants. So just to throw it
Mitch
at the
Marner
ones
wants
that,
a big brother.
Mitch Marner wants to be back with Matt Martin. Exactly. But to just throw it out and say, oh, we're never signing guys because it's happened in the past. Things are a little different now. We have an arena. Hopefully we'll have a bunch of cap room. And honestly, the more names that hit the market, the more beneficial for us. Because if Rantanen, Mitch, and Ehlers all hit the market, there's a trickle-down effect where Ehlers is going to have to maybe choose a location that wasn't his top choice because they took one of the other guys. So we don't know what's going to happen, but you at least want the opportunity to make something like that happen.
I want us before we stop recording, I want us to all give our prediction for the game tomorrow and for what happens after.
We're gonna do another pod at some point this week. So
I feel like we're gonna do that after the deadline, right?
Well, I wanted to ask you guys, Jack, you actually put this into my brain, so shout out to you. But
rare.
Very rare. let's go around. What would be a satisfactory deadline for each of you? And what would be a disaster we're going to get on and record and you're going to be pissed off? Like, what is the minimum that they can do to make you satisfied this deadline?
So not even optimal.
Because
shitting
we,
my pants.
Just you're not going nuclear the next time. It's just like, all right, that wasn't terrible.
Shrug your shoulders type thing. All right,
exactly.
Fine.
I'll go first, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
The satisfactory is Brock Nelson and Kyle Palmieri are not Islanders on Friday at 3 p.m. And then what? You want the worst case?
Worst case, I mean, I'm assuming you say we don't trade anybody.
No, worst case is lose buy-in, like, bottom six fucking grinders. That's worst case.
And best case, Ethan.
I don't think that was part of the question.
No, but you know what? Throw that in, best case, even though it's not going to happen.
There's three options here, as we discussed earlier in the group chat. There's three possible outcomes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Thank you. It's like
disaster,
a three I didn't know that. You told me that for the first time. and then best case is they trade Nelson for a first and a prospect. They trade Palmieri for a second. And, they could, if they wanted to, they could maybe
get
a
crazy
more, but
get crazy.
No, I'm gonna Nelson for first and a prospect, Palmieri for a second, and maybe 26 third, Pageau a first retaining half, and Lee retain half, get a 25 first, a 26 first, and two prospects.
No way,
why not?
That's crazy.
NHL GMs are dumb. You never know.
That I would love it. I would never do that know. In 2 seconds. But yeah, I agree. The accepting one, I agree with Ethan, is just trading Brock and Palms. The awful one is buying or standing pat. And the perfect one, obviously, it would be Pageau, Nelson. I mean, Nelson, Palms, and then plus a Pageau or Lee. If they added one more to Nelson and Palms, I'd be very happy. And quick side note here, I was thinking about Palms earlier. So Tkachuk for Florida is on LTIR probably for the rest of the year, right? He makes 9.5. They just acquired Seth Jones and are eating 7 mil, correct?
7, yep. That's it.
We eat half of Palmieri, it's 2.5. Perfect fit in Florida. Florida Panthers for Palmieri is my prediction.
Is there a scenario, and I guess this is for you and Ethan as well, that they
hold on real quick though. Just feel like Rocco's speaking from personal experience of Italians from Long Island going south to Florida.
No, it's just the money. It was more of a money thing and trying to get my boy to pay less taxes. Yeah.
Well, I predicted.
Wait, no, Jack. My quick amendment to the question. Then I'll let you go. Is there a scenario which they trade Brock and Palms, but the return is dreadful that you're still going to be pissed off anyway? Where you're like, we just should have kept them then?
Yes. No. Not should have kept them. Not should have kept them, but I'll be mad. I think I'll be mad because if that comes to fruition, I would be convinced that the timing was off and they should have done it quicker, if that makes sense.
So if Brock gets like a third round pick or something stupid.
It's not happening, but at the same time, this the sorry, Jack. The Lou has an opportunity here to really to make the market. And if he can make the market on Nelson and it's high, then I think we're going to be generally pretty happy on a Palmieri return as well. So like we've seen, this is a seller's market right now, which I think is crucial.
Yes. The first deal is the most important. Jack, go.
So a few episodes ago, I predicted one thing about the whole Brock Nelson situation, and it was that no matter what, a lot of this fan base was going to be furious. So my prediction on Brock Nelson is that nothing happens on Friday. No extension, no trade.
That's my prediction.
Is it really?
Well, my prediction, I said in the group chat, I don't think they're going to do a single thing.
I don't think they will do a single thing.
Like that's they will not acquire anyone. They will not trade anyone because we're 5 points out of a playoff spot. So maybe. Yeah, so
I think they're going to
move further
sell.
Back tonight or same. No, same.
It's the same. It's the same, but there are now because, Montreal keeps winning. I think they have to jump over an additional team. They might have gotten past.
They that did. Could they, be they, wrong. They, yeah. they, Montreal got closer. They didn't get past, I think, but they have so many teams to hop if that was even possible. I think that they sell a defenseman, and the reason being they went seven defensemen tonight. I don't know which one, but one of them is gone. They have too many defensemen. So I'm predicting nothing with Brock happens. They sell a defenseman, maybe Mayfield, maybe someone else. Nothing with Brock, defenseman. I think they trade Palmieri also. And I don't think they trade Pageau or Lee because of that stupid quote that's been driving Rocco crazy all week with the "if you have time, use it" BS. But what I would be satisfied with is you trade Anders
Rocco,
Lee.
Do you want to explain after Jack's done why that quote makes you mad?
Well, it's
not
like giving
really.
Someone,
it's just it's overused, and it's sorry to jump in, Jack, but that triggered me.
Well, it's giving someone credit for procrastinating. So
not only that, it's just like
it's also he's something he said it one time.
He said it one time 5 years ago, and we constantly reuse it and reuse it because the guy never speaks. So it's if you have time, use it. Okay,
and
great.
He's never proactive, Rocco.
I know, it's but right. I don't like it as an excuse. Like, if you have time, use it. If you have time, use it. Well, guess what? Running out of time and still nothing is happening.
That's why I used to do my homework in the car. Use my time.
No, yeah, but if you have time, use it. And then the teacher's coming around the room to check the homework and yours isn't done.
As Ethan mentioned before, if the biggest haul we can, what's the biggest haul we can get? If it's eating half on Anders Lee, yeah, that's good enough for me, honestly.
That was a ridiculous haul, by the way, Ethan. I mean, I would be with it, but two first plus two prospects for eating half of Lee is crazy.
Trade Anders Lee. And you know what? What's so great about that is you trade Anders Lee and you could really sell to the fan base that there's change, there's turnover, you have a new captain. Like you have 7 million to work with. You also have Palmieri and Nelson maybe coming off the books. That's 7 plus 5 plus 6. You got 18 million right there. I did my math correct, Greeny.
I wish we could all live in this fantasy land.
Sell a defenseman. That's satisfying for me. And re-sign Palmieri to the really team friendly deal. And you can re-sign Nelson too. But if you don't,
why do we want anyone back on a team that's 25th in the league?
Because I want Palmieri back because I'm tired of Fasching. I'm tired of Cizikas. Nothing against these guys. Love them, but they are not third-line players.
But there are other players out there. There are other players out there that is not Kyle Palmieri and is not Brock Nelson that can still be better than a Hudson Fasching and a Casey Cizikas.
Well, I'm talking in the third-line role. Brock's not going to play that. Like, I would rather have Palmieri in that role for next year on a team-friendly deal. Might be unrealistic, but, like, I would be very happy with that. He's been a great trade acquisition. He's been a great signing for this team. Like, you watched the Predators-Islanders game the other day, and you're watching Stamkos. You're watching Marchessault. Like, it's just crazy. Like, Palmieri has actually delivered. So, yes,
yeah, but
I would.
He was ice cold for, like, 30 games, though, too.
He was, but he'll hop out on the penalty.
He was.
Field.
It was only. He's was a only great, a third of the season.
He's a great teammate. Like I'm a Palmieri guy. I like
him too. That's why I'm trying to send him to win a championship in South Florida.
It's time. It's time to move on. It's just simply time to move on. I can't watch the same product every single night.
Wait, there's one more thing we need to buy. Actually, we need to buy a backup goalie now.
No, we don't. Let's guard replay. Let's guard play.
Jack, we don't have to buy a
body. We just need a body in there.
I cannot watch
you. You could go play goal. I wouldn't care.
Hogberg's going to come back.
Yeah, he's going to come back. He's got a few weeks.
We don't have to buy
play one game. Who cares?
The Hogburglar is going to save us.
All right, Phil.
You know what I was going to mention, too? I wouldn't be shocked at this point if we see a guy like Cizikas moved. I wouldn't be – again, we talk about the dumb GMs around the league – I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of these teams would throw a late pick just to take on a Cizikas for a playoff run. He doesn't make a ton of money.
That's a great point.
I want to see what. How many years does he have left after this? Maybe two. It's not too much for a team to eat. And again, like similar to Ethan's point about Lee with the Blue Jackets, like that would be a nice guy for them too. A veteran like that play a bottom line role.
2 years, two and a half left. By the way,
Greenwood. Yeah, that's not bad. Prediction yet?
No. Well, I mean, my prediction is they don't do anything.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I have a question for you guys. Legacy question for Brock. Let's say tomorrow is his last game with the team. Does he go into the team Hall of Fame? Does a number retirement get questioned here?
He goes into the Hall of Fame. He does not get his number retired.
If he re-signs with the Islanders for another 3-4 years, he's going to break.
Then he'll get his number retired.
Or okay, if Zeev Bouyam comes back for him, his number could get retired.
I think they're going to – I hate to say it to you guys because I don't know if you all want it to happen, but I actually do think that they put everything out tomorrow because it might be some of their last games with the team, and I do think they're going to have a hell of a game.
You mean –
I could just see it right now.
Yeah, I could see that. But I also see a fresh Winnipeg coming in and just destroying them.
We should get to show.
We're going to see a team that's ready to win versus a team that's stale and dead. And you got to keep in mind with a lot of these guys too. Like if they think they're involved in trade rumors, whether they want to admit it or not, their mind might not be completely here either. A guy like Palmieri, even a Nelson who we love and appreciate, might go into the Isles Hall of Fame one day. You know, his mind might be elsewhere tomorrow night.
What do we think the roster looks like before the game tomorrow? I know, Rocco, you said they're probably going to play everyone. Jack,
it's going to be the same.
You think it's going to be the same?
No, Duclair,
no I mean, everyone's going to play. Duclair's going to be back in. And
I'm talking about Nelson, Palmieri, Mayfield, any of the guys that we just mentioned. Are any of them going to be sitting out, we think?
For trade reasons? No, I don't think so.
Trade reasons, but I do think Perunovic gets back in, though.
See, like I feel like Lou or Wah would hold them out of the lineup, but then when they would be asked by the media why are they out, they'd be like, oh, he's banged up. Like, even though it's like Brock and he's holding him out for a trade, he's not going to say that. He'd be like, yeah, he's just, you know, he's nicked up a little bit.
I mean, they should, because whatever the outcome is tomorrow should not affect anything. We're not at the point where one game should affect anything. So I'm sorry, but
at the very least,
Brock and Palm should be sitting out. You could play. Who would play in that scenario? Martin and someone else?
Call someone
last
up.
Let them play their last home games.
No. No, yes. I'm sorry. No.
Yes.
It's a business. It's not.
I would be mad if I went to the game tomorrow and I didn't get to see him play one.
Okay,
last.
But you'll get Brock Nelson, if Brock returns. Nelson gets cross-checked in the throat in the first period tomorrow and breaks his collarbone or something, and now they can't trade him, you're going to be like, well, you know, at least he got those two shifts in his last home game.
Jack's thinking about this like NBA load management, and that's why he's getting enraged thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm fucking enraged right now. None of that bullshit in this sport. Are you kidding me, guys? No.
It's asset management, not load management.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, they're suiting up tomorrow, and they'll be checking, they'll be hitting.
They're going to play, but I'm just saying they should not play. I mean, for God's sake, the Rangers are scratching Riley Smith for 2-3 games now because they're going to trade him for a fourth-round pick.
Doesn't it kind of make you sad, though? Like, at the end of the game, like, there's, 6 minutes left. We're getting our asses kicked, and Palmieri's one-handing through the Rangers' defense, just doing anything he can to score a goal. Like, don't you just appreciate that? Like,
no, Jack.
Fight in that guy?
These are professional athletes making millions of dollars. I expect them to give effort the 60 minutes a day that they're required to perform a job. I can't stand that. Well, at least this guy tried. This is not Little League.
Score it's not fucking that, goals. But no, but as we're saying, though, like with their minds being somewhere else, like that guy is right here, right now. Like he is in the present. Like, that is not a factor with him.
On the ice, yes, but like, you know, you can't tell me, Jack, they're still human beings. Like practice tomorrow, whatever else they do between the game, driving to the game, like it's not going to be on their mind. They're human beings. It's going to be on their minds. You don't think Brock Nelson driving to the arena tomorrow is going to be thinking about this might be the last time I'm driving to the arena as an Islander tomorrow. Of course he's thinking about that. He's human. Wouldn't you?
He's a little bit of a robot, I'm not going to lie.
Sure, but he's going to be, you know, it's probably going to be emotional for them.
Yeah, no.
Especially that. Brock. That's a career Islander if he even gets moved. Who knows? Maybe he has one in the drawer already and he's staying, but... That's the thing too. Like, we have absolutely no indication of what's going to happen.
My Twitter timeline right now is just filled with like NHL aggregators and beat writers tweeting out pictures of the NHL wildcard race, and the Islanders are not in a single graphic.
If this was like the NFL in the hunt, we wouldn't even be in the hunt.
No. We're not.
We'd be off the graphic.
We're in the basement.
No. Although, I mean, whatever.
We're in the hunt for the first
seven teams per conference make the playoffs. So
here, okay. We talked about Chris Botta's tweet right after this game. Okay, we all kind of agreed we liked the principle of the tweet.
I didn't agree with it, and I plead fifth on this conversation.
No, you don't even know what I'm going to ask, Jack. If we all think that they're going to, you know, give it their best shot tomorrow, and maybe they'll win, their next three games after the trade deadline is at San Jose, at Anaheim, and at the Kings.
Oh God.
So, I think, honestly, if they win tomorrow, they're probably going to win the next three in a row after that as well.
The Ducks, don't sleep on the Ducks, though. Ducks have come back. They're pretty good now.
You know who sucks now? The Kings.
Yeah, it's not based on who they're playing. It's based on this is what the Islanders seem to do.
Yeah.
As soon as you count them out for any kind of reason, they'll pull something out of their ass just to maybe make you believe for a half a second something's possible, and then they'll rip your heart out at the very end.
Yeah.
So true.
I could see it.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Do we want to get to the quick Q&A, Greeny?
Yeah, we'll
we
do.
Got any good questions?
Honestly, I haven't even checked.
We should just have Ethan answer all of them.
Right, quick Q&A. So
you want to get out of there that bad, Jack?
I just know how much you love them. So
stupid question next.
The last question after we do this, I want to go quick rapid fire for all three of you, because this will be the last time before the trade deadline, unless something crazy happens. But I'll save that for the end. All right. First one. Do we think, this is from Legacy Sports at Legacy Sporting. Who plays center the rest of the year if they get rid of Brock and or Pager?
Pierre Engvall.
Yeah. Punishment.
Holmstrom played center in the playoffs last year, right?
You could spread out Cizikas and McLean too, right? Cizikas, yeah. McLean, Horvat at the top, and then if you keep one of Brock or Pager,
I mean, we're going to be in Hagen's territory, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bad thing at this point.
Okay, I mean, but Jack, did you go? I don't even know.
Yeah, I actually said Holmstrom. He played center last year in the playoffs. Maybe they throw him out there.
That'd be interesting. All right, this is from Coach Jeff 24. One, if Lou holds on to his UFAs, someone please explain to me, like I'm six, what the plan is to be a cup contender during the tenure of those extensions. And he has a follow up question. I'll get to in a second. But you can't.
No, I agree with him. I think if you extend both of those guys, you're kind of keeping your window shut.
Say it depends on the number, but he's probably right.
I don't know.
Pass fail. Pass fail. Another pass fail situation for you. Well, I guess the other part, he asked a second question. Stefan believes Lou will buy if they're within a couple points of a spot. They're currently 5 points out. If they win the game tonight, they'll be 3 points out. What help, or what could he bring in that would help? So this is the one person that's saying, if we buy, what could we possibly do?
There's only, like, I don't know of anybody really available in this market that they have the assets to get other than Casey Mittelstadt, and he's not bringing us anywhere closer to a Stanley Cup than we are right now.
I love how Jack found a way to get Casey Mittelstadt into this episode. I
mean,
respect
he's notably available. Like, that's the only guy. Like,
Would you be okay if they sold guys and then went and bought him specifically? You would like
that move? Absolutely. Absolutely. Would love that move.
I got a question. if we wake up tomorrow and there's an Andrew Gross tweet that says that
Who has
Skarek
more
is starting,
charisma?
no, we could debate that. But if Skarek starts tomorrow, is that a sign of anything?
Yeah,
If
big sign.
Skarek starts, I think they honestly, if they announced Skarek was starting, I wouldn't be surprised if they held the guys out. But I do not think Skarek will start.
Now, all that tells me is that Phil probably kidnaps Sorokin and they have to start Skarek because there's just nobody else left.
Possible.
All right, so there's a couple more. This is from our guy Ian. Is there a single organization in the league with more miserable vibes than the Islanders? Obviously, there are teams that are worse, but is anyone sadder?
Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo's a good answer.
Buffalo's worse than
Buffalo.
us. Haven't been to the playoffs in 20 something years.
Anaheim?
Yeah. But you know what?
Nah,
You know why
Anaheim's got
Buffalo
things.
has it better though? You know why Buffalo has it better? Because at least during football season on Sundays, they get to watch a real quarterback play. So,
Yeah, it's true.
the end of the day.
Yeah, it's probably just Buffalo, honestly.
I can't even is would you like
Because
right right now? We're talking right now.
yeah, right now,
Because
all
like
the other
Chicago's
teams.
pretty brutal, but you take that because they're dynasties the last
But
however many years.
also, they have guys that like
Yeah,
kids
Bedard.
that you want to
Right.
watch and see what
You
happens.
don't mind as much being bad. Right. Same
Exactly.
with the Sharks. Like, I didn't realize, I think I said to you guys the other day, I didn't realize how bad the Hawks and the Sharks are. But like you just said, Greeny, like when you could watch Celebrini, you could watch Bedard and have hope. Hope
They're
makes
both
up for a
so
lot of
good.
things.
Maybe Nashville also in that conversation. I mean,
Yeah.
I was at the game Saturday. Ethan, you were there too.
Yeah, that
The
was as bad as it
Predators,
gets.
are just atrocious, man.
I don't know
Unless you're
how they're
bringing
as
someone's
bad as they are.
contracts.
I don't know how they're
They
that
have
bad.
worse vibes. They actually have worse vibes than us
Yeah,
by far.
it's bad. All right, one more question, then I'll go with the final question. This is from Mono219. How much input do you think Patrick Waugh will have on the deadline moves?
Decent
Really good
amount.
question. It's a really good question.
I think these defensemen that move the puck and are young, I think his hands are all over it. So I think he'll have a decent amount of say
But
during the
do you
next. I think
think he's
very
gonna,
little.
someone gets moved because of any of those guys, Jack? Like
I think he's gonna
Perunovic,
have
so
very little input.
Perunovic, D'Angelo, or Boquist forces someone else to be moved? Like are those high enough quality guys to force someone else out that's been here a while?
I do think so, actually. Yeah, I think a defenseman gets moved, then it's kind of, I guess, indirectly because of Wah.
Like, this is really a franchise-altering trade deadline for the Islanders. I think Patrick Waugh has very little, if any, input. Like, what is he going to do? Go to Lou and say, trade these guys?
Well, he
He.
might. You don't think when it comes to potentially extending someone, like if Wah doesn't feel they work in his system, you don't think that would affect Lou a little bit?
Already know that Nelson was offered an extension. If you want to speculate
So,
who had input there, that's fine. But I also think it's like silly to speculate. Like, if Wah would have any input on the return, like, the guy's a full-time coach.
no, of course not. But
No.
I'm saying, like, some GMs and coaches operate that way where if the GM approaches, I'm sorry, if the coach approaches the GM and says, hey, this guy really doesn't work for me, they flip him. Someone
That's the thing, dude. That's
like if
the
he
thing,
approaches
though.
him, sorry, Ethan, but an
Yeah.
example, like, if he approaches him and says, hey, listen, like Cizikas just doesn't work in my system anymore. Like something like that. I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but it's possible, right?
I mean, maybe, but like if we're talking about the high ticket guys, it's like tough to argue that Brock Nelson doesn't work or
No,
Palmieri doesn't work.
Brock, I don't think Lou needs, and I don't, nor do I think he would, because Brock is like a lifelong Islander and whatnot, but it's the other guys that are bigger question marks that I think Wah could come into play, if that
Yeah.
makes sense.
I get it.
I also think it's important to keep in mind we don't know what Patrick Waugh's future is long term.
We don't know either, and that's what's part of the scare of this deadline.
And it's true, but like, do we want, or I don't know, do we want, like, would we take a lot of stock in what Patrick was looking for if we don't know if behind the scenes there might be a change after the season or after next year or something like that? Like, why would we be taking a lot of stock in what Patrick Waugh wants if he might not be here? I think everything should be on the table.
Well, if Lou's here, I think Wah's 100% here, right? Like, I don't think they
I
would
would think
keep
so.
Wah. I don't
Agreed.
think they would keep Lou and Can Wah, but The question becomes, if you change GMs, what's WASV? If Lou's here, I think WASV here. I think they're tied together.
What if
Lou's tied to WASV?
Quick. Wadden announced that Sorokin was starting tomorrow when asked in the post game.
Yeah, but would he ever announce that?
He's done that sometimes on back-to-backs when they've asked him who's starting tomorrow and he hasn't given his answer.
Got it. Okay.
But like, what if I would hate if this happens, but if Lou decides or tries to point the blame at Patrick Waugh for this season going sideways and cans him at the end of the year. That's the only thing I could think of where they wouldn't be tied to the hip, Rocco. If he tries, but then
how many coaches does Lou get? How many players and contracts that, like, that's too much at this point. Like,
you know, right, what you want to say about Lou is stability.
Right. And I don't care what you want to say about Malkin and Ledecky. If they let him get rid of Wah and hire another coach, that's, to me, that's truly like their hands off. They don't care. It's Lou's.
Yeah.
It's Lou's team to, you know, it is his team to run, but like they're more hands off than I thought if that was the case. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Well, there are no other questions. I want to do quick rapid fire for the three of you. Just quick yes or no. I'll go through the, you know, four guys that we talked about, and you just give me yes or no. Do you think that they are traded before the deadline? So let's start with Brock Nelson. Yes or no?
No.
Yes.
Rocco?
Yes.
Pageau?
No.
No.
Yes.
Palmieri?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm going all three.
And we'll do two long shots. One of the defensemen, Mayfield, Pollock.
Mayfield, yes. Pollock, no.
No to all.
No to both. I think that's a summer thing.
And last one, Anders Lee.
Not a chance.
No. Yes.
You think he's moved?
Yeah.
Oof. Wow.
I do. I think Lou's going to shock us. Yeah.
My shock was doing all three, Pageau, Palms, and Nelson. I don't know if that should be a shock, but for Lou, it feels like it would be a shock.
Well, I'm shocked at that take, Jack. And I guess my prediction, not that it matters, we'll have the same team on Saturday.
Okay. Well, for those who are still listening this late in the episode, I think we'll obviously be recording a post-deadline episode, but I believe the plan, Rocco, is to also be doing a Spaces around 3, 4 o'clock deadline day on Friday, so stay tuned for that. We'll put it on our Twitter, and I think we're done here. So we wrap it up?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Follow the Twitter at Isles House. Follow all of us. Subscribe where you get your favorite podcasts, and we'll talk to you guys after the deadline.
Sister's saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, you can't hang around. Isles House, in the middle of our street. Isles House.